Hello, and thank you for listening to KPCRadio.com. Today is Friday, March 27th, and the time is 1:20 p.m. I'm Robin Pennington, and this is Club Beat, where we spotlight clubs here at Pierce College. Today, my guest is Omri from the Hello Club. What's your position with the Hello Club?
I'm one of their engagement interns.
Let's start talking about what Hillel is.
Okay, so Hillel at its core is an international organization. It's the International Foundation for Jewish Campus Life. And what Hillel basically does is connect Jewish students and also non-Jewish students with the Jewish culture and with the state of Israel and all of its affairs. Not necessarily even politically, but also the culture of Israel. You know, it's been around for, I don't know if it's had its centennial yet, but it's been around for a while. It does have chapters, and it's a collegiate organization, right? So it primarily appeals to college students, both graduate and undergraduate. And it exists on every major campus and pretty much every major, and even not necessarily major university across the United States. You know, UCLA has one, USC has one. Most campuses that do have a Hillel have an on-campus Hillel building, like an actual facility of Hillel, where in that facility, kosher is kept. In that facility, it has all sorts of Hillel events are held. It has art, and it has, it's a lounging environment for students to be able to come to hang out. And that's what we offer at our Hillel. So Hillel at Pierce is a club to represent the local chapter of Hillel, the international organization. The local chapter is called Hillel 818. Hillel, you know, being A18 being, you know, the area code of the valley, obviously. And Hillel 818 is the Hillel of mainly Pierce College, Valley College, and CSUN. Mainly CSUN, but also, you know, I'm part of the reason I do what I do is because I want to make sure that Pierce College students know that they have a gateway and they have access to a Jewish community and a Jewish haven for them and a place for them to meet and connect with other people who have interest in their culture and who are Jewish or not Jewish.
So if I'm not Jewish, but if I have like an interest in the Jewish culture or the state of Israel or anything like that, is it possible to join the Hillel organization?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, like I said, it's not a membership-based organization, so we don't really have, I wouldn't call it join, because, like, I guess it depends on how you define it, right? You could say that people who start coming to Hillel events regularly and, you know, start being kind of a part of the community that we've built around Hillel are, in a sense, have joined Hillel, but then, you know, I feel like that wouldn't be 100% correct to use this terminology, because like I said, it's not a membership based organization. It's something that everyone is free and absolutely, you know, it's supposed to be very open.
Your Hillel, or the Hillel 818, doesn't do religious services, but some might.
But some might, you know, on other university campuses or, you know, places where universities feel like it's needed, or where the people that are active participants in that Hillel feel like it is needed.
Can you tell me what kosher means? Because as far as I know, kosher is just you don't mix milk or dairy and
well, that's
meat.
That's part of it. But kosher overall is the dietary restrictions of Judaism as a religion. In the Torah, it's actually not given a specific reason why we have to follow them. Like people, because there's different kinds of laws that are given in the Torah. There's laws that have very specific reasonings as far as to why we should follow them, and laws that don't have specific reasonings. And then, you know, some people came up with reasons. Like some people say that, oh, maybe you shouldn't keep kosher, or maybe you should keep kosher because it's a healthier lifestyle, which is true a lot of times, because I mean, pork really isn't the healthiest kind of meat. I mean, being kosher doesn't forbid you from eating meat, but it's supposed to spiritually encourage you to, it's supposed to be like a more spiritual way to live and a more spiritual way to eat. And,
well, I think historically, swine or pigs, I think historically they were
very dirty animals. Yeah, they were. So that's where it comes from. I mean, it's not just swine or pigs. The Torah specifically gives, you know, the characteristics of animals that are considered not kosher by default. So swine are one of them. Certain bugs are one of them. Giraffes aren't included in that category.
Giraffe? Who eats a giraffe?
Nobody eats giraffes, though, so that's the point.
I would not have thought bugs were part of it. But, you know, that's just a modern culture.
No, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Back when it was written, they were probably...
The whole idea of keeping dairy and meat separated, which, by the way, if you go to, like, a completely kosher Jewish kitchen, you'll see that everything is separated. Like, they'll literally have one refrigerator for dairy, one refrigerator for meat, one sink for dairy, one sink for meat. Like we do at my house, we separate the sinks. One set of utensils for dairy, one set of utensils for meat. It's very clear separation and segregation between those two. Where that comes from is that there's a passage in, like I said, I think it's Leviticus, where it is said that you should not boil a baby calf in its mother's milk. And rabbis interpreted that to be, okay, you can't, because you don't know if a specific calf came from a specific mother, that's how they interpreted it. You don't mix meat and dairy.
Okay.
Just straight up. And that's really the rule that stuck down. A lot of people, like, for example, Reform Judaism, which is, you know, they're Reformed, so they're usually pretty progressive and pretty modernized. The Reform Judaism doesn't specifically adhere to kosher standards, but they still try to remain spiritual in their own way. But most, you know, traditional Jewish movements, like the conservative movement and the Orthodox movement, keep kosher.
Okay.
Or encourage keeping kosher.
Is it hard, just kind of, maybe this is personal, this is a little personal, but is it hard, like, to eat out if you do practice kosher?
Well, ultimately, because, you know, we're individuals in a free world, we get to make our own decisions as far as to what we do. So I would say that I keep kosher, but I don't keep complete kosher, right? So for example, when I go out, I don't eat cheeseburgers and I don't eat bacon. I don't eat any animals that are, this is me personally, right? But I don't eat any animals that can't be, you know, kosher ever. Like, for example, a pig can't be kosher.
Right.
Ever. Because it's just, that's who the kind of animal that it is. Pork can't be kosher. But I will eat, for example, because for an animal to be considered kosher, for a specific type of meat to be considered kosher, it needs to be slaughtered in a certain way. Through a process that's called shechita. And it needs to be slaughtered in the most humane and painless way possible. You need to kill it, like, as quickly as possible using its jugular vein.
Okay.
So...
no suffering.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the whole idea behind it. No suffering. So... when I go out, I'm like, let's say I'm okay eating a chicken that hasn't been killed in that way, but and that chicken wouldn't be considered kosher specifically, right. And I'm okay with eating out in restaurants that aren't necessarily kosher, but I would never order anything that's, like, strictly on kosher. We, like, some people, you know, they say that it's a spectrum of, like, high treif. High treif is stuff that could never be kosher, and low treif is stuff that's, like, it's not technically kosher, but it's not nearly, like, as, you know, unkosher as like eating, you know, a bacon cheeseburger.
Right. Like, bacon cheeseburger is like the highest treif that you can get.
It's certainly up there. It's certainly up there.
Double bacon cheeseburger with, like, I don't even know what.
I mean it's not very healthy for you, but, like, that's besides the point.
Well, I mean, like you said, kosher sounds like it's pretty fairly healthy anyway.
Like, I mean, it's for a lot of people don't like it because it's like, oh, you know, it's a restriction and I don't want to have to follow restrictions. And it's like, you know, like I said, that's fine. You know, nobody's forcing you to follow anything. And at Hillel, we mean to be as completely chill and as completely laxed as we can possibly be about political, about political and religious and cultural views. Like, for example, the one political view or political stance that Israel does take, if anything, is that most Hillels are, you know, in support of the state of Israel, which there has been controversy behind it. But that's about it. You know, when you go to Hillel, they don't tell you how to live your life. They don't tell you to keep kosher. They don't tell you to go to services every Friday night or every Saturday morning. You just go there and you enjoy. And like I said, at Hillel 818 specifically, it's supposed to be it's not a religious experience, you know, because we don't provide those facilities because there hasn't been demand for it. But there is demand for it, and if there is a group of people that want to see services offered at the Hillel, then it's definitely something that we could that we could try to offer at least, or help supplement. Most of the time, and this is, you know, not a promotion for them, there's another organization that's called Chabad, and they're a religious organization, and they do provide those facilities. So people who are looking usually for religious facilities go to Chabad, but, you know, more so for cultural facilities and cultural activities go to Hillel.
Okay.
I'm not promoting Chabad, by the way. I'm just saying a side note.
It's just like a comparison. So at the Hillel 818 facility, do you guys offer food for people to purchase if they want?
Yeah. Well, no, not for purchase. Whenever you come to events at Hillel, if there is food, all the food is free.
Oh, wow.
Like I said, everything is free, including free food. So, you know, college students, they hear free food, they go absolutely like insane.
Well, yeah, it's free.
I mean, yeah. But whenever we do Shabbat dinners, whenever we have, you know, mixers or banquets or whatever kinds of events that we have, you know, during any of our programs, because most of the events that we have are programs that happen regularly throughout the semester on a regular basis. And I could go into detail about those or I could explain some of those programs if you'd like me to. But whenever we have those events, everything, entrance to the program is almost always free, unless it's like recently the Jewish fraternity at CSUN, they had a philanthropy night at Hillel where you had to pay $5 to get in, but the $5 was going into philanthropy.
Right, it's charity.
Yeah. And it was like a casino theme night. I couldn't be there, unfortunately, but it was still, it looked like it was a really, you know, a really fun, really successful event.
Sounds really fun.
Yeah, but as far as most of the events that Hillel does, whenever you come, it's free to join, it's free to participate, and the food is free.
Oh, wow. What about when there's not events? I believe you said the facility is open?
Yeah, the facility is open, and it's right across the street from CSUN, but the facility is open. Let me just pull up the times real quick because I don't remember them off the top of my head. Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and the address is 17729 Plummer Street, Northridge, California, 91325. So most of the events happen over there at the Hillel facilities, and that's where, you know, if you go there, you get people from CSUN and from Valley and from Pierce all coming together and enjoying the events that are there or that are hosted there, whatever event it is that's happening. But we do events here at Pierce. Like, we've been like a few times this semester, in addition to Club Rush and tabling, we did what's called TFTI Thursdays, right? You know what people say when they mean or what people mean when they say TFTI?
No.
People usually say it sarcastically when they're talking to their friends to say thanks for the invite.
Oh.
Like, let's say you see your friends went somewhere, let's say your friends went to some party and they didn't bring you with them, and you see the pictures up on Facebook, so you would comment TFTI, and it's like, oh, it's like sarcastically saying thanks for the invite.
Thanks
so
for letting me know.
Yeah, no, exactly. So from that, we got the idea of doing thanks for the Israel, hashtag TFTI, thanks for the Israel, Tuesdays and Thursdays, which are supposed to be, you know, kind of like very chilled, very laxed mixers and hangout sessions for Jews and for people who are involved with the Hillel on campus. So we try to do them Tuesdays at CSUN, and Thursdays I don't think there's any more upcoming ones at Pierce this semester, because we have other events happening on different Thursdays, but we try to do them Thursdays at Pierce. You know, it's basically the Hillel fellow comes on campus, she brings like food and promotional materials, and we just hang out there. People who want to learn Hebrew, because we do have people here who are interested in learning Hebrew, so people who want to learn Hebrew, the Israel fellow, the Israel fellow is one of our staff people at Hillel that works directly on the ground with the interns and the rest of the students. There's three positions, right? There's the director of the chapter, there's the student program there's the Jewish program coordinator and advisor, and there's the Israel fellow. And the Israel fellow's job is to connect students to Israel and to Israeli culture specifically. So our Israel fellow is usually the one that does it for the events at Pierce. And what she would do is that she would come on campus and, you know, we would just have this whole hangout session and, you know, she would teach people Hebrew if they were interested in learning, or just talk about whatever. You could talk about politics if the subject came up. You could talk about culture. You could ask questions about Judaism, that kind of thing. It's supposed to be, you know, just a very chilled, very relaxed hangout session on campus.
Oh, that's kinda really cool.
Kind of like basically like a club meeting.
Okay. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. I would never have thought that you know, like the fellow is like an actual position.
Yeah, I mean, but the fellow isn't like a student. Like, it's someone who's, you know, who's finished their undergraduate studies, you know, in Israel. Usually it's someone that comes there from Israel, and it's a paid position. But then at that case, they're working for the chapter and, you know, more indirectly for the organization, the international organization as a whole.
Oh, wow. Okay. This is really cool. Yeah. So do you guys have any events that you can talk about coming up?
So as far as Pierce, we're supposed to be doing Israel Day at Pierce, and we're working on getting the requisition. We're working on getting the forms for that straightened up right now. The facilities request and everything, but we're supposed to be doing Israel Day at Pierce, April 30th. And it'll be part of our Israel Week or iFest Week celebration. You know, iFest being like Israel Fest. So that whole week of iFest, we're having a bunch of different events happening at Hillel and on campus, both at CSUN and at Pierce. The one that's happening at Pierce is the Israel Festival, which is going to be 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. And throughout the rest of the week, some of the other events that we have happening is Krav Maga, which is, you know, like a session on Krav Maga. And Krav Maga is the Israeli martial art that's taught to all the combat soldiers when they go into the Israeli Defense Forces. Small side fact, in Israel, if you're a citizen, you have to serve in the Israeli Defense Forces. There's mandatory conscription.
Oh, wow.
So when you go, if you go into a combat unit in the IDF, in the Israeli Defense Forces, you usually end up learning this specific martial art, which is, like as I said, it's called Krav Maga. And then we're doing Israeli cooking. So we'd be cooking food and, you know, serving it. The next day after that, they're doing a TFTI Tuesday on... this is all the week of the 27th through the 1st of May. Then after that, they're doing a TFTI Tuesday on the CSUN campus. We're doing a student-soldier panel, right, where we're bringing Israeli soldiers in. And they're going to be talking about their experience from the IDF, because a lot of times I think the IDF is misperceived to be a very, you know, evil and immoral army when it doesn't have to be that way. I myself personally am planning to, after I complete my undergraduate studies, to go serve there. But, you know, that's a little bit down the line. And we're also and after the student soldier panel, we're doing a candle lighting in remembrance. I'll have you know, actually, I'm forgetting his exact name, and I could look it up for you. But we had a student who, this past summer, there was an operation that Israel was doing in Gaza, which was, you know, the subject of much international controversy. But basically, the IDF had to go into Gaza, from which it pulled out of a couple of years ago. And as part of that operation, you know, it was a bloody and terrible conflict for both sides, like just like any war, or any, you know, or any military conflict. But one of our someone who actually used to go here, an Israeli that was living here but moved back to Israel to serve in the IDF. I'm forgetting his name. He fell in battle, and he actually went to El Camino. I'm an El Camino alumni myself, and he went here, and my Israel fellow brought up the idea of having him being mentioned during the memorial, during the candlelight vigil that we're going to be doing for all the soldiers that fell this past summer.
Well, that's a good idea. That's really nice to
remember
somebody locally who was killed so far away.
Yeah. Then they're doing like an Israel festival on campus at CSUN on the 29th. And then the day after is Israel Day at Pierce. And then we're doing an Israel Shabbat in joint with the local Chabad. I mentioned to you what Chabad was. It's a different Jewish organization that's more religious in nature. But Hillel and Chabad work together a lot of the time to produce or to create a very welcoming Jewish environment on campus. So we're doing an Israel Shabbat that's going to be at the Chabad. The Chabad building is right next to, pretty much right down the street from where the Hillel building is. It's also right across the street from CSUN.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there like a website people can go to and in case they don't remember all this really good information?
Yeah, I know it's a lot. Sorry.
No. You're doing fine. But I've like forget everything, and so like is there like a website that I could go to and just be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna mark in my calendar Israel Day right here on Pierce or right here at Pierce.
So I will. Here's what I will say. There's a couple of really good ways if you want to be in touch with Hillel 818 and be in the know of all the events that are happening. First of all, we have calendars available in the ASO room. There's calendars sitting both at the table, right by the entrance to the ASO room, and also in the front desk where the clerk and where the receptionist that sits in the ASO room. So there's calendars there with a lot of information and all the upcoming events. We do have a website. The website is www.818.hillel.org. And in addition to that, once you go on the website or if you contact me, my email is on the ASO section of the Pierce College website. If you contact me, I will help. I will be more than happy to put you on our newsletter, which goes out about, I think, every week. And it has all sorts of great information about what's happening at Hillel this coming week, what kind of event, Jewish observances or things that are happening this week. Just a general, you know, like Jewish newsletter, but it's a great way to stay in touch with the organization.
I'd like to thank my guest, Omri, for coming in today. And you have been listening to Club Beat. My name is Robin Pennington. Stay tuned to kpcradio.com.